Last session, the group of you had left Bingham on this pilgrimage. You were passing through, well, what used to be farmland and then some sort of wilderness in Oklahoma. But of course, the Dust Bowl has been in full force, so a lot of the topsoil has been blown around, and everything is just this sort of strange wasteland of reddish dust that's blowing everywhere. And you've spent the day travelling through this in a caravan under the hot sun. It's late spring, so the weather is fairly warm and arid. And you, as an act of devotion, the Reverend Cornfield has asked you not to take any food or drink, and to do all this on foot. Now, you're not the only people on this little pilgrimage, though I suppose it depends how you define people, because you are being accompanied by a lot of the Reverend's faithful, who were resurrected by Ethan in a somewhat altered form, that they are now these pale, scaly, malformed things. And one of the purposes of the pilgrimage, as well as to show you this holy site, as you have requested, is to perhaps find them some salvation in the coils of Yig. However, as you've grown closer to this location, things have got a bit unpleasant for Spencer. He was already feeling unwell. He's the only one who's not really taking part in the pilgrimage. He's accompanying everyone else, but he's on horseback and he's not following the prescriptions about food and drink. But he has, since arriving in the locale of your destination — you haven't quite reached the destination yet — but since arriving in the general area, he's been feeling more and more ill. And now that you're within sight of this cliff face, or this, at least, stone outcrop, he has fallen to the ground and is convulsing. There is black goo coming out of his eyes and his mouth. And that, I'm pretty sure, is where we left it last time. However, before we jump into all the good stuff about what you're going to do with this situation, let's give you what are probably going to be some very much-needed luck refreshes. So let's go around in turn. Let's start with Charles. So, Joe, can you give me a luck roll for Charles, please?
Definitely can. So, that's a 73 versus a 28. That is a fail.
Okay, so with your special talent, that means you get 3d10 plus 10 luck back.
My God.
This is the best talent. Oh, I got a 1 and a 1 and an 8, so that's a total of 20 luck back, which takes me up to an okay 48 luck.
Well, importantly, it's over 30.
Yeah, I had dipped below that 30 mark, probably for the best.
All right, Karen, can you give me a roll then for Ethan, please?
I can. My luck is currently on 76. And I rolled a 5.
So you still get a d10 plus 5 luck back.
1d10 plus 5. Okay. I'll take it. It gives me an opportunity. I got 12 additional luck.
Nice.
So that puts me on 88.
This is wrong. Curran has more luck than I do. This can't be allowed to stand.
But less sanity, right?
I only have 14 sanity.
Hey, Charles has got 2 hit points.
I mean, James is doing pretty great, not gonna lie. I've got nothing to bring to this fight. I mean, for now.
Well, let's do Spencer next. So, Aaron, can you give me a luck roll for Spencer, please?
Sure. So, rolling a D100. I get a 41, which is lower than my luck of 84.
Okay, so you get a D10 plus 5.
I mustn't grumble about a D10 plus 5. Let's see. And that's a solid 8.
Okay, so you're on, what, 92 luck now?
That would be that, yes.
What is going on?
Everybody started doing what I used to do and never spending luck.
I've just been succeeding all the time, so I don't need to.
Well, except on the sand rolls.
You are walking with God, I guess. Oh, yeah.
Right, Camille, can you give me a roll for Jane, please?
Okay, Jane is feeling lucky. She's got 90 luck at the moment, so I doubt I'll...
What the hell?
I am one of those who never spends luck. All I do is listen with my satellite dish ears. Yeah, I rolled a 27, so that's 1d10 plus 5, was it?
It is, yes.
Okay, so that's 13 more luck, so I guess 100.
I think you just won now. I think that's how you win Court of Cthulhu.
I win the game!
We just give up now, isn't it? We just go home.
I'll try to spend a bunch. Just do some really, really reckless shit.
Does it cap at 99 or 100? It should say on your character
caps
sheet.
Caps out at 99. At least my sheet says it caps out at 99.
Shucks! Okay, 99 then. If I must.
Okay, and then finally, Bart. So, Dave, can you give me a roll for Bart, please?
I rolled a 38 against 61. Oh, but I did get a 10 on my roll, so that's 15 luck.
If it makes you feel any better, Scott, I do only have 48 luck, so if you want to do any group luck rolls, I'm your man.
I'll wait until I've worn your luck down a bit before asking for any. Just to make everyone else really hate you. So, as I said, you are now there within sight of this holy location that the Reverend Cornfield has been leading you towards. This cliff face or rocky outcrop, you know, whatever it is. At the moment, though, that is not really your focus. Your focus probably is the fact that Spencer is lying on the ground, having fallen off his horse, convulsing on the ground, black goo coming out of his mouth and eyes and ears, and God only knows where else.
Reverend,
so
does that look all right to you? Is that normal?
I think Jane kind of noticed with her eagle eyes that Spencer was not looking great and was kind of bothering him a bit, like, Spencer... You all right? What's going on? And he was like, oh, fine. So as his toxic masculinity was coming out, he was like, no, don't need any help. And then fell off his horse. So,
typical Spencer. Yeah.
So I think Jane would be kind of going a bit like, guys, what do I do? I have very little medical knowledge.
Charles is going to, I guess, like limp over at speed and lean over Spencer and try and help him. I think he might sort of draw the line at the kiss of life, but he's going to try and help. So like do a first aid. I haven't really got medicine.
Charles, I seem to remember the last time you tried this. It didn't work out very well.
Bart, quick with the funny comments. Come over here and help him. He's dying.
Yeah, can I try and help somehow? Like slap him on the back to get some of the goop out or something? Jane doesn't really know what to do.
Yeah, if you're trying to keep his airways clear.
A bottle of ketchup.
Well, I mean, Jane was the first one on site. If you're trying to get him into position so he doesn't choke, then let's start with a first aid roll.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not very good at this, but is anyone else good at this?
Well, I was going to say, Bart was a soldier in World War I, so he would have seen poison gas attacks, and mustard gas has some... I mean, obviously it's not black goo, but it does cause inflammation of the lungs, coughing, vomiting, tearing eyes. Would that, I mean, my medicine role is shocking, but would I just have the history and knowledge of sort of the very, very basic immediate aid to someone who's suffered lung damage?
I'd give you a bonus die on your first aid roll if you wanted to do that. Keeping his airways clear.
You might need to. I did just roll for it. 1%. But...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Have I jumped the gun?
No. You were the first person there. So while you've been calling to the others, you've been trying to get Spencer into position. And you've rolled him over onto his front, but it doesn't seem to be helping. I mean, he's convulsing. And, I mean, this goo It's not like it's pouring out of him. There's bubbles, and you become aware that, yeah, it's sort of seeping out of, like I say, his orifices, his eyes, his nose, his mouth. But it also seems to be creeping back in sometimes as well. It's not like liquid coming out.
Uh-oh.
Can Charles do a Cthulhu Mythos roll?
Sure, he recognizes this. You very much can.
Yeah, Jane's just ineffectively trying to pat him on the back, going, Spencer, you all right? Because I rolled a 59 over 30, so...
Hang on, yeah. I'm sure I recognize this stuff. I rolled a 93. Maybe not. However, I do have insane recall.
Ooh.
Is there any way I can use that to somehow, like, I don't want to push, well, I suppose, but I do want to push the rope.
I mean, if you wanted to spend,
maybe I do want to push the rope.
No, if you want to spend a point of sanity to activate that,
well, do.
Yeah. So. Then
sanity, what I got? Yes.
Then give me an intelligence roll, and you will get a bonus die on this to see if you can recall something.
Okay, so intelligence roll. I passed 36 versus 40.
Ooh. Nice.
Well, there you go. You don't even need
do
the bonus
to take
die.
My intelligence.
It doesn't work like that. As much as you may need it. So, you do actually recognize this black liquid that is coming out of Spencer's face. Yeah, you've seen something this color, this texture before. But the last time you saw it, it was much, much larger. It was in an army camp in Bolivia, and it was throwing people around and killing them.
Christ. Jane, this is... Just be careful. This isn't natural. He's not ill. He's got an unknowable thing inside him. That black goo's alive. Don't touch it. It'll get you as well.
Yeah, Jane kind of starts backing away a bit more.
Christ, he's dying. We need to do something.
Oh, what on earth is happening back there? And I'm going to grab the Reverend. Reverend!
Yeah, the Reverend comes back with you.
What is going on here?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. We've brought dozens of pilgrims here before. No one's ever reacted like this.
This has nothing to do with you and your snakes, your godbotherers. He's possessed with a demon or something.
Is it because he's not on the pilgrimage?
No. This must have followed us from Bolivia or something. But you know books and things. You do something. Help him!
I was going to say, it's the 1920s. Perhaps a cigarette would help?
Yes, we'll burn
they
the
say
thing away.
They say they're wonderful for the lungs. Beyond that, your idea is good as mine.
Now, there's a thought. Now, Bart, because of an experience he had, yeah, if you want to give me an intelligence roll to see if Bart can recall something...
That is a hard success, 30 against 90.
Now, do you remember back when you were messing around with artifacts back in that location, the name of which you just can't remember somehow? Meeting room? No, it can't be. Anyway.
It's a meeting room somewhere.
But Bart went on a little... mental holiday, didn't he, down deep below the earth where he encountered a certain god down there?
Yes, and there was also a return visit. Words were said, feelings were hurt.
Things were done.
Yes, but you do seem to remember seeing creatures like this, like you'd also encountered in Bolivia, there in his realm deep below the earth. These things that seem to be worshipping him. And seem to be within the thrall of Sarthogua, way down there, deep in the dark.
Looking at things, Bart's been reasonably sort of detached from it, just sort of at the moment. Obviously, there's a sense of urgency going on, but it's been a hard week. but then, while he didn't have a huge reaction to Spencer's distress, a little spark of fascination and a twinge of remember sort of crosses his face, and just takes a small pen out of his inside pocket and just sort of lifts up. Yes. Yes, I think it is. This is no natural. This is a servant of Sothogua.
What? You sneed? Gesundheit.
No, one of the ancient deities. Something, not really, but well, for your simple mind, think of him as the snake people's Satan.
Well, more than just that, because your characters have been exposed to this much more recently than you as players have, I'll remind you out of character. The briefing packs that you had from Caduceus told you a lot about the history of the serpent people and the religious schism that drove them apart, and the fact that the followers of Sothogua, the serpent people who embraced this god of darkness, are pretty much the sworn enemies of the followers of Yig. And I think you've kind of pieced together from that that they are probably the driving force behind the Inner Night.
Ethan, you seem to have an unusually close line of communication, shall we say. This entity is the sworn enemy of your god. Perhaps another prayer? Beyond that, I'm afraid he's fucked.
It really wouldn't be possible. The last one nearly killed me. Really, I had to use over half my hit points.
He's dying here, Ethan. He's dying here. You got to do something. Look at him. He's dying.
perhaps you then Cornfield. You seem to have some sort of divine... Under his breath, very much... almost, no words, no breath actually comes out of his mouth. Bullshit is what Bart is thinking. Divine blessing? Perhaps you could intercede.
Perhaps if we tried to do it together, Cornfield.
Maybe. I've never done anything like this. I have prayed to Yig and he has given his blessing unto me, but I don't know. Maybe if we get him inside the cave, maybe Yig can help him in there. It is one of his holiest of sites.
Well, how far away are we?
He points at this rocky outcropping that you're heading towards, and he says it's just around the side there, maybe a few hundred yards from here.
Well, come on, everyone, put him back on the horse, and let's hoof it.
All right.
Spencer down. Thought it was funny.
Well, Spencer, obviously is in an awful lot of physical pain at the moment, but at the same time, you can feel that your consciousness is almost separating from all this. That you're there, part of your mind is sitting there back in that warehouse with the black dripping things all around you. And you can just see in the darkness sitting on the chair opposite you, again, that veiled figure of that woman, just there, shrouded in shadows. She doesn't seem to be talking to you, though. She's talking to someone just off to one side, saying... What do you suppose is doing it? You can't just let him die like this. He's too important at this stage. Surely there's something you can do. Oh, this is intolerable. And she gets up from the chair, and from somewhere in the shadows, you can hear the sound of something violent happening. And then she comes back and sits down in the chair, opposite you, you can just see in the dim light just the sort of glistening wetness of blood on her gloved hands. And she looks back at you through the veil and says, "Can you hear me, Mr. Randall?"
"I can."
"You are in mortal danger. Whatever you're doing at the moment, stop it at once."
Come on, get him into the cave.
Let's get him up on the horse, or maybe not the horse. I don't know. I feel like because he's not coming as a pilgrim, perhaps he's being targeted.
And again, you know, Spencer's, you know, still having this mental conversation with this woman. You have to get away. You have to do something. I don't know what's causing you this harm, but you don't understand. We had to do some fairly extreme things to save your life, Mr. Randall. You are not the man you once were. If you do not take action quickly, I'm not sure we can do anything more to save you.
What do I need to do?
I don't know. We're just aware of the distress that you're going through. We know nothing about what's happening at the moment. Tell us, what have you done to bring this upon yourself?
I've done nothing. I'm here accompanying my friends on the mission we were sent on.
Yes, this is the mission to Oklahoma.
Yes, this is the same one.
And yes, you're following Meadham's suggestion, or his instruction to wipe out this cult. Are they fighting back? Are they using sorcery against you?
No. We've actually saved a lot of them from death, and we seem to be.
Why would you do
traveling
that?
Out to somewhere in the desert to. Long story. It's some of the others in the group.
Where are you traveling to?
Out in the desert, there's a place that the preacher knows. He's going to take us to this holy site. I'm not sure exactly what's out there. Or...
A site holy to the Father of Serpents?
I guess.
You fool! Don't you understand? It's only the power of Sathoka that's sustaining your pitiful life at the moment. If you go in there, it'll be driven out of you and we'll have done all this for nothing. Oh, idiot.
Wait,
humans.
So you're telling me that if I go into this place, I'm going to die?
Yes, well, it is beyond our control at the moment. Let's start work on Plan B, she says, off to the shadows, and everything goes dark.
Come on, let's hurry up. He's looking better already. Look, he stopped coughing.
But his nose is streaming more. It's hard to say.
Well, better out than in, my mother always said. Several of my boyfriends have said it as well.
It's quite limp for someone who's getting better.
Yeah, as you're getting him close to the cave, I mean, he's convulsing again, and there's more and more of this black stuff now. I mean, the stuff that was coming out and then retreating back into his orifices, now it's coming out, and there's more of it, and it's just dripping down onto the ground. And you can see some of it just almost rotting away as it hits the earth.
It's working. We're exercising this demon.
It does appear so.
You can always trust in Yig.
Well,
he's not let us down so far. Don't give me that look, bud.
Well, as you're getting him closer...
Would you say overall, like, perhaps with a perception check, is he doing better or is he doing worse?
You're monitoring him, I think, you know, obviously fairly closely. You don't need to make a roll at this stage. You can see at this stage that he's stopped breathing. That his eyes seem to be bugging out of his head.
God, come on, we've got to get him up there quickly. He's dying.
Yeah, it's really hard. It would be really hard to tell whether this is, you know, do we keep going or is it getting worse because we're going?
Certainly the closer you're getting him to the cave, the worse his condition seems to be getting.
Yeah.
The Reverend Cornfield is there over by the cave mouth going, faster, faster!
Jane's just thinking something isn't right here. He's because Jane's already thinking it's because he's not come as a pilgrim. Maybe Yig is punishing him. I don't think he can go in. I don't think he can go in.
Well, I don't see we have much other choice.
I mean, unless Spencer like pipes up at this point, out of character knowledge notwithstanding, I think we're carrying on with the plan to take him into the cave.
Apparently I'm not breathing. I'm unconscious. So
you're not unconscious. Oh, you're drifting in and out of consciousness. So
Oh, right. I thought I was just completely unconscious, not breathing.
No. You're convulsing. You're having. You're not breathing at the moment, but. Yeah, your mind is divided between two places, but yeah, you're not unconscious.
I make a sort of noise. I'm like, and I kind of like point away from the shrine, and like, you know, point that way, like I want to go over there.
I just say, see, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go.
Yeah, the noise he's making is coming out as a series of glooping sounds, and there are great bubbles of this stuff now just coming out of his mouth.
I think he's saying he dropped something back there when he got off the horse. Someone go look for his cigarette case.
What's that, Spencer? Timmy's down the well?
No, I think we need to get him away from here. I think he's... She's getting the wrong end of the stick, but I mean, her heart's in the right place. She's like, I think Yig is cursing him. We need to get him away.
I kind of wiggle out of their grasp, and I'm on the floor, and I'm starting crawling on my hands ever so slowly back the other way.
My goodness, he's delirious.
But yeah, I mean, the rest of you have seen that Spencer, with the last of his energy, has just rolled off the horse, landed heavily on the ground, black goo spraying in all directions from his mouth as he's done so, and is just dragging himself across this red, silty ground away from the cave. He's still not breathing. His eyes are bugging out. I mean, his skin is red, not just from the sun. His body shaking violently, but you can see every bit of energy is being used to crawl away from the cave.
What do we do with the thing inside is dying, but he's dying with it.
Well, I think our only choice is to bring him into the cave.
No, that's
right. That's
a
one for the cave.
Idea. No.
Well, that's one for the desert.
He's not.
Yig can save him.
I'm going to use.
He's going to die.
I'm going to use my finger.
Oh God.
And I'm going to start writing in the sand. I'm going to write right in the sand. I need to leave. Get away from cave.
See?
I'll tell you what. Let's have a constitution roll to see how much of that you can actually get through.
That's a 7.
A 7. Okay, so that's an extreme success. So you do manage to write all of that before finally losing consciousness.
Or it's sort of, again, just, you know, he sort of was directing, he was managing people, helping him onto the horse and guiding him there. And I see this riding. I quickly light a cigarette, take a long drink. I don't care what he says. Sothogua is bad business. And if he's got something of Sothogua in him, whether he wants it or not, we're taking him in the damn cave. And I look very, like, dead serious at Charles and Ethan.
That's two for the cave, and if we count Spencer's essay as one against it, two against it with Jane.
Since when is this a fucking democracy?
Since our friend is dying and we don't know what to do, but that's when.
Jane just kind of narrows her eyes because she's like, I feel like I'm being ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's pissed. She basically is just like, absolutely going to dig her heels in, literally into the sand. And is like, no, he was getting much worse as we were going there. I may not be a doctor, but at least I can see that. There's absolutely no way.
I'm siding with Jane. The last time I followed Ethan and bloody Bart anywhere, I ended up with this. And he points at his hand. We're leaving this goddamn cave. And I'm going to grab Spencer with Jane and drag him away into the desert. This is where you want to go, Spencer.
Charles, stop. You don't know that... The chances are that you pull him away, he's still going to die. Right? So if we bring him to the cave, I promise you Yig will make an effort to save his life and free him of Sothogua.
Are you having this conversation while dragging Spencer away from the cave.
While he's dragging him, yeah.
Shouting louder and louder.
Damn you and your snakes, and damn you too! And he's pointing at Bart, dragging Spencer off into the dust. Well, I guess with Jane grabbing his collar as well, maybe.
Yeah, do we try to, like, maybe we need to try to get him back on the horse or something?
Oh, no, my strength is like 90 or something. I don't need a horse.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I'm really strong.
I am the horse.
No. We are the horse now.
Charles, Jane.
I don't need a horse. He's my brother.
Before you do anything mad, understand, we might have an association with a deity of questionable association with humanity, but Sothogua would destroy us all in a heartbeat.
But Charles isn't even listening. He's just dragging him off through the red dust. He's going fast. There's, like, you know, sprays of red dust going up everywhere.
So, yeah, I mean, you drag him 10, 20, 30 yards away from the cave. And, yeah, by the time you get him just out of the line of sight of it, all of a sudden there is this almighty gasp as, you know, enough of the black fluid clears out of his throat that he can take his first full breath of air for what feels like minutes.
Does it go back in or does it leave?
Yeah, you can see that the black goo around his eyes and nose and ears and mouth is all... It's like watching it dripping just in reverse. It's just all trickling back into his mouth.
Oh, God.
Right, Spencer, I'm glad you're better, but you've got some damn questions to answer. How the hell did you get that black goo in you?
Oh, God. Damn. Oh, it's good to breathe. Thanks for getting me away from there. Apparently, going in that cave was going to be really bad for my health.
Do you know why?
No. All I know is they did something to me.
Who's they?
They did something to me when we came back from Bolivia. That black stuff. North Borneo. Yeah. Bolivia, North Borneo, whatever.
It's a different sides of the world.
It's foreign. It's all foreign to me. Oh, man. It was the same stuff that I was coughing when I found myself in the harbour in New York when I woke up. Disgusting stuff. Oh, boy.
At this point, Bart's probably just walked up behind. Yes, Spencer. We're going to need a little bit more information than that, old friend.
Well, what do you want from me? I don't really know much myself. I'm not exactly a frickin' scientist over here.
Well, if we were dealing with science, that might be relevant. This is the occult, my friend, as you should well know after our long association.
What do you want me to tell you?
Well, start at the beginning, end at the end. Everything, and everything in between, please.
I met this woman in a dark veil. Never quite saw her face, but she told me that she had brought me back from the brink and that I now owed her a favor. I think her name was Rose Meadham, I think it was.
Charles, do you think that is the same Rose that we saw?
That Rose Meadham, that's who that's who Cadiz is trying to clone.
Yeah.
I don't know why they want her, but they're trying to create her in the cellar. We saw these creatures, and well, Bart did some terrible things to him to appease the lizard woman.
Well, yes.
Well, and also, Spencer was originally hired by Cadiz to try to track down Rose Meadham.
That's right.
So, who is this woman, then?
Well, as far as I know, she's the daughter of the head honcho there, Cadiz.
So let me get this straight. The woman Caduceus hired you to find, and who apparently is, Caduceus is also making, looks at Charles, strange doppelgangers of this woman?
Yeah, they used that word. What was it, Ethan? Like a clone. They said they were a clone of her. And then you sacrificed them to, what's her face? Strange giant lizard woman.
That's a clone.
Tyrannish.
I remember that, yeah.
No, you weren't there.
So much a sacrifice is to empower a magic ritual, and they were already dying, and needs must. But Spencer, she met you in the Caduceus building.
Well, it was, believe it or not, in my office, but I have no idea if I was dreaming that or if it was real or what. I don't know. Everything is so hazy at the moment.
Right, so let me get this right. You're working for Rose Meadham, who worked for Sarthogua, who is, what, the Inner Knight? That's who you're working for? So you're like, Caduceus is like, so imagine we've got us, so I'm pretty sure we're not evil, and then you've got Caduceus, who were definitely evil, and you've got the Inner Knight, who were more evil than Caduceus, and that's who you're working for? That's who you sided with? So we've got like the lizard cult, and the frog cult, who you've decided that you could throw your bone in with them.
Well, I did mention that it might be a good idea to exercise it. Charles and Jane.
He was dying. Well, fine. Spencer, do you want to walk into the cave? Did we make a bad decision?
I mean, probably, yeah. He definitely could have resurrected you, Spencer. Just saying.
But as like one of them? She sort of gestures back at the
snake
people.
Yeah. All these pale, malformed, scaly things just wriggling around the ground.
No offense.
What do you mean, you people?
You look lovely.
Bart has a sardonic smile on his face. Oh, yes, the blessed ones. Very clear that he's using the word blessed as a pejorative.
Hey, I didn't get a choice. I'm going to renounce it anytime I can.
Well, to be fair, old friend, the fine print was very, very fine, and I don't even think it was on the contract.
Yeah, who'd have thought that signing up to a lizard cult would have bad things happen?
I don't know, it's hardly my first cult.
Well, you say bad, but I'm not really sure where the downsides have been yet. It's like, you know.
So, like, Charles looks up down Ethan's scaly form. Right.
Nonetheless, the problem at hand is Spencer's allegiances. Spencer, why didn't you tell any of this when you rejoined us?
I didn't really know too much about it myself, in all honesty. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. You guys seem to know more than I do.
And just now, while you were unconscious, what did you feel?
I saw a vision of Rose again, telling me that if I was to go into the cave, then I would die, basically.
Huh. And is this the first time a mysterious woman with a veil has come into your dreams?
I was about to say, did you roll psychology? You should have rolled psychology.
Not the first time it's happened to me.
So I start checking Spencer's pockets, his inside pocket. I'm like, so how much luck do you have left?
Right, because if he's got 30 luck, you can go in that cave.
Okay, now we've broken the game. Spencer, I don't know how to tell you this, old chap, but you're possessed.
What?
By, shall we call it, a demon. There's quite a few differences, and, you know, the mechanics are somewhat different, as well as, obviously, it comes from the truth, not some strange mythological deity and his fight with a rather comical red demon. But nonetheless, in effect, it's close enough for this conversation. As you probably know from common law, exorcisms aren't exactly safe, but, well, I do think we should try to exorcise you.
But it looked like he might die in the process. Better alive and possessed than dead?
What do they say about omelets? You gotta break some eggs. That's a saying, right? I've heard that.
Well, I think he definitely it's his choice.
I don't think we should treat people like eggs.
I'm definitely not keen on going back to the cave.
But it's the Cave of Wonders.
I understand you might be somewhat reticent, but do you really want to live the rest of your life in beholden to this woman, in slavery, to know that thing is inside of you?
Spencer, you remember Bolivia? You remember that massive gooey black slime monster that tried to kill us? That's what's inside you right now.
Maybe you'll turn into that.
What do I do?
Well, you could always try the cave. It's not like Rose Meadum wouldn't lie. I mean, she's human. And she clearly has motives.
I'm not one for, like, wanting to, like, put my life on the line, but if the more I think about this thing inside me that I never knew was inside me, the more I'm sort of thinking, how am I going to live like this?
Perhaps a lifetime of drinking might cure you? If the proof is high enough.
If I haven't drunk this thing away already, it's not going to happen.
Hey, there's another option. You remember how we killed that thing in Bolivia? Oh,
didn't we pour a lot of bullets into it?
No, we didn't. That didn't work for shit. It couldn't stand fire. We could burn it out.
Oh, great, yeah. Let me just dive into a bonfire and I'll just sit in that Charles. For a while.
But maybe while a cigarette will work. Smoke it out.
Charles, while I've never had the highest regard for your intellect, surely there's more to your plan than that.
Well, I haven't worked out all the finer details, but I'm not suggesting we do like a witch burning. I'm suggesting we burn it out. So, like, you know, we get a flame and we put him near the flame and we scare it out. And, it'll try and run away or something because it thinks that... But we got to be convincing. We got to make it think that Spencer's actually going to burn alive. So, Spencer, you're going to have to get burned a bit.
But Spencer's been near fire quite a few times of late. Well, I suppose you weren't that near the building that was on fire.
No, he's got to get really near, like...
But Charles, I think the creature leaving his body is what was killing him. So...
Yes.
How does this help if we're just going to kill him away from a cave where he could get resurrected?
Right, instead just, of you, you three, come with me. Resurrected? Spencer, you just stand down. You just stay there. You three, come with me. And he sort of, Charles walks away and goes, I'm just suggesting the burning thing so he agrees to the cave there.
I had kind of come to that conclusion. Well, to be fair, I did just think you were being an idiot, but I thought I'd use your idiocy to the advantage of the cave idea nonetheless.
Idiot like a fox.
That needs to be a t-shirt, idiot like a fox. Oh, Joe, if that doesn't live down, it's one of the best lines from how we built the podcast. It will be a great miscarriage of justice. Yes, very foxy.
All decided then. We're gonna set fire to him. Right, Spencer, we've decided. We've got a plan.
Unless the cave does seem more attractive.
As an alternative, we set you on fire.
We just set him on fire a bit, you know.
I don't think I like any of these ideas.
Well, you did say yourself you couldn't see a lifetime of this thing being inside you. Plus, I can't imagine the long-term health benefits of black ichor demon infestation are particularly good.
And what's the alternative? Being turned into a snake man?
Yeah, but you'll be incredibly handsome and super, like, charming and great. That's what happens.
I would say Ethan's an edge case.
Yeah, I don't think it's like black goo man or snake man. I think you could fall in the middle and have neither, which is, I think, what most of us are trying to push for.
Look, I'll tell you what, Spencer. I will personally request from Yig that he doesn't give you any scales on the outside, okay?
Or the inside.
I can't guarantee that. I think internal scales are very beneficial. They help protect some internal organs and other things. I've got a 69 in biology, I love you know. So, yeah, beneficial.
Are you using that, right? Anyway, no, Spence, anyway, I'm not going to set you on fire. I'm going to set you nearly on fire. I got a plan. You got to trust me here. Hang on. I'll start setting it up. And I'm going to start gathering, like, you know, there's like roly, what are they
tumbleweed.
Called?
Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed things.
Well, there's certainly plenty of dead plant matter around here.
I'm building a pyre right now, so.
So you're going to burn me at the stake, basically. I don't think I enjoy this idea.
Yeah, I think Spencer needs to pipe up a bit more at this point.
Trust me, I got a plan. Saw it on Conan the Barbarian.
I
read it in Conan the Barbarian.
I sort of lean towards Bart and I just say, just imagine this could have been what happened to us hundreds of years ago.
Oh, darling. Yes. For me, on multiple counts.
I'm kind of like unsure what to do. I obviously don't want this thing inside me, but every option that is put to me sounds awful in all regards.
Well, there is another option that you just go through life with this thing in you. So,
and none of us ever trust you again.
And you're beholden to a weird organization.
I'll still sort of kind of trust you.
Weird, perhaps might be a little bit more accurate in this particular situation.
Yes.
Anyway, and Bart pulls out his hip flask. Takes a long swig. Well, the pilgrimage is fucked anyway. And passes it to Spencer.
Yeah, what are the snake people and the Reverend doing?
They're waiting around to see what's going on with you lot, because obviously, you know, the Reverend Cornfield has promised you this pilgrimage. He seems to be keeping a respectful distance because this is something that you're obviously dealing with. But he has not led the faithful into the cave yet.
Spencer, your experience while heading towards the cave was quite unpleasant, but all the occult lore, and indeed even the Judeo-Christian nonsense, does always describe exorcisms as quite an unpleasant experience. We don't know that you would have died. The only person's word we have for it is this Rose Meadams, who I don't think is exactly a reliable witness.
From what I understand, this, whatever this is inside, it's the only thing keeping me alive, from what I understand it to be.
Yes, but who told you that, my friend? Do you trust this person's word?
The pyre's almost ready.
I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore.
Well, fact. You have something inside you. Fact. It does not like the cave. Fact. If you do nothing about it... Well, if Caduceus finds out, I dread to think what they'll do, but I think we both know it won't be pleasant for you. And frankly, I'm not sure even I can trust you with that thing inside you.
I mean, it's still me. It's not like it's telling me what to do or anything.
But wouldn't it be the case that she could communicate with you? Maybe she can also hear what you hear and see what you see.
Bart sort of has a little coughing fit.
She did seem to know exactly what was going on in Oklahoma when she spoke to you.
I thought she didn't. She was saying, where are you now? What are you doing?
Like, yeah, but she knew about the mission from Caduceus.
What's happening?
Yes, well, I'll leave you to piece together the exact details, but It is relatively consistent.
Well, if there is a demon inside me, then I guess I've got to do something.
And what will that something be, Spencer?
Whatever it takes.
I'm guessing you don't mean the fire. Bart sort of smiles, ironically and tragically.
I mean, I would like to keep my hair if I can try.
It is your best feature.
So Charles is going to stroll up and look Bart right in the eye and go, "Idiot like a fox." And is that where we leave today's episode?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's leave it with Spencer on the cusp of a very difficult decision.
So, thank you everyone for playing, and thank you everyone at home for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our little journey into Spencer's psyche. If you want to get hold of us, if you want to get hold of me personally, you can find me on Twitter at HWR Podcast. You can find me on the How We Roll Discord, which is there's a link to that in the show notes. We've got a Facebook page, we've got a Reddit page, and you could also contact the podcast directly at howwerollpodcast@gmail.com. Aaron, thank you so much for that. And sorry for the nearly setting you on fire thing.
Yes, you're right, Jack. I'm sure I've had worse in the past.
It could still happen next episode, I guess. How can people find you and anything you'd like to share?
Just look for the flames.
Indeed. You can go ahead and find me on the How We Roll Discord. I'm always on there, lurking in the shadows in one way or another. Just send me a message or at me on there, and I'm sure I will find it and respond in all good time. Otherwise, you can find me on my Twitter, which is HWR Aaron. And I'm on there very rarely. Don't really use it too much, but you can follow me on there if you wish.
Amazing. And Dave, thank you so much for playing again. And that was a fantastic dialogue between Spencer and I'm very excited to see what happens. How can people find you? Anything you want to share?
Nope, you can find me on our Discord. I don't know when this is coming out, but I will, you can, you know, scroll back through the messages and see the progress on me redoing my recording room / office on our DIY channel on the How We Roll Discord. And yeah, if you at me, I'll reply fairly promptly. I'm on there quite a bit.
Awesome. Curran, again, thank you so much for playing the demagogue.
I mean, it's
that's right.
It's a bit saddening that I haven't gotten to go into the Cave of Wonders yet. I want to know what happens. I really want to know what happens. Like, really, really want to know what happens. But if anyone wants to get in contact with me, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord, like everyone else here, I suppose. Or you can follow me on Twitter. That's KURAN_J, the letter. And then, or you can find me on twitch.tv/KURANJ, where I stream every Monday and Friday. That's it.
Amazing. And Camille, again, thank you so much for joining us. I love the pink hair, by the way. I have commented on it the whole evening.
It was meant to be a dark orange colour, but it went neon pink. So sometimes you just never know what's going to happen in a Call of Cthulhu game, in real life. Is much the same. The stakes are much lower, though. Thank you so much for having me on. If people want to get in touch with me, I am on the How We Roll Discord. I'm not a very regular Discord user, but I'm at Camille B. So you can always message me on there, or you could follow me on Twitter at Camille Brouard. I don't update very often, but again, feel free to get in touch if you'd like.
Fantastic. And thank you again so much for Scott for setting up this horrendous scene that has forced us into some very difficult choices. I love it.
Good.
How can people find more of your stuff?
Well, if you want to try to get in contact with me, yes, like everyone else, I am on the How We Roll Discord, so look for me there. Alternatively, I do use Twitter every now and then, so I'm on there at S Dorwood. But the best way of trying to at least follow what the hell I'm working on at any given time is take a look at blasphemoustomes.com, the home of the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast, which I do with my good friends Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, who co-wrote this campaign. And there is lots of stuff on there about Call of Cthulhu, horror films, weird fiction, and, oh God, all sorts of other stuff.
Amazing. And we'll be back very soon with the next episode, and we find out if Spencer's going to be burned as a witch or carried into a cave or a mysterious option C. And we will be back next week with the next exciting episode of Two-Headed Serpent. If you cannot wait that long, it has already been released on our Patreon. Our Patreon has early releases, it has bonus episodes, and a whole load of Patreon-only releases, including scenarios, Call of Cthulhu and Cult Divinity Lost, and some other cool stuff as well. So please check that out at patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. It is the main way that we keep running, and we absolutely couldn't do without it without you. So thank you, everyone who supports us. And thank you to all the Patreons who supported us in December. That's Zach T, Timothy T, Ian E, Snow, Harriet, Richard H, Andrew C, Elizabeth W, Glenn V, Jens, Dylan K, William S, Nicholas D, and Thomas F. Thank you so much. We genuinely couldn't do it without you. We also want to say a big thank you to BattleBards.com, who have given us many of the musics that you've heard in this episode. So please do check them out. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas and a very good new year. We've got some amazing things planned for 2021. So please do check out our website at howwerollpodcast.com and continue to check out our feed. So thank you very much and see you soon.